Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm pleased to be joined right now by the NFL national lead writer for Bleacher Report, co-author of Football Outsiders Almanac, which is always a great read and a great resource, certainly for people in my line of work. You can get him on Twitter at Mike Tanier, T-A-N-I-E-R. Mike Tanier joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Mike, how you doing tonight?
I am so looking forward to 3 days of actual football practices around the NFL where we're talking about quarterbacks and we're talking about linemen and we're talking about hitting and we're talking about all of that good football stuff, not all that bad other stuff.
Brother, I am so with you on that, man. I am so with you on that. And look, I know what I'm about to ask you probably has as much to do with off-the-field stuff, but not the same off-the-field stuff you and I are alluding to, because I'm leading off with a question about the New England Patriots, and I saw you had an article, binge-watching all the patch drama, which is, you're absolutely right. Like, if you were to pick a team, I know Cleveland's going to be on Hard Knocks, but if we all pick a team to be on Hard Knocks this year, wouldn't we be picking the Patriots with all this drama going on right now?
Yeah, except the first episode of Hard Knocks of the Patriots would be Bill Belichick with a fire hose shooting all the cameras. He would never let it happen.
True.
And yet, you know, with all that silence that comes out of there and how it's kind of like the Kremlin there, that breeds this intrigue. You know, when we hear that, you know, maybe Gronk was – they were considering trading Gronk, and maybe there's friction between Brady and Belichick and all of these intrigues. When they're so secretive, it invites that, and it just makes it more interesting for us when there's nothing going on to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you, of course, the most recent bit of drama is not any interpersonal stuff going on, although it may, given Alex Guerrero's involvement in the offseason training for some of these guys, it could turn into some more fireworks. But Julian Edelman's 4-game suspension, if the appeal does not, if the appeal is unsuccessful, what is the football impact for the New England Patriots of not having Julian Edelman for the first 4 games of the season?
I don't really know it's that great, because they've been without him so many times in the past and been successful without him so many times in the past. Again, he's a heck of a ball player, but you know, it's a typical thing with their depth chart. It's stocked with guys. It's stocked with guys that they know that they can win with. Just looking at some of the people they picked up in the offseason, they went out and they got Jordan Matthews in the offseason. They got Philip Dorsett late last year. You know, they have a 6th-round pick who's kind of that slot guy, Barrios. I'm not saying he's a replacement for Edelman, but when you come through there at the end of their training camp, they're going to have guys who can fill in for 2 games, 3 games, 4 games. This is kind of old hat for them to have to replace somebody for the short term, and it's something that the Patriots are really good at, even when it's somebody as great an impact on the team as Julian Edelman.
Yeah, I know. Look, I know everybody in the AFC, fans who are rooting for teams in the AFC, people like me who cover teams in the AFC are hoping this is finally the year where enough bricks fall out of the wall that somebody else can jump in there, which leads me to my question about the Houston Texans. If they're fully healthy, if Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, Deontay Foreman, all these guys come back and they're healthy and productive, what is the ceiling for the Houston Texans in your mind?
I think it's incredibly high, and I think that they should be one of the teams that's competing for the Super Bowl at the end of the season if everyone is healthy. The only question I have about them really is the offensive line. Yeah, I look there, and there's a lot of young guys. There's a lot of recent draft picks, so I haven't really seen take that next step there. You know, I don't know what Julian Davenport. I see he's one of the guys who's penciled in at left tackle. I don't know about him. I don't know much about Zach Martin. I know there's some questions to the other tackle position. Everywhere else, they have a high playoff caliber lineup, and that starts with the quarterback, assuming Deshaun Watson's healthy. Looking at the wide receiver core, all the guys they drafted to surround DeAndre Hopkins in the last couple of years, all those bodies that we didn't see on defense last year, you put all these things together, like I said, I still think there may be an offensive line away, but that ceiling is very high. They can definitely do what the Jaguars did last year. They could be that team who comes in and is competing with the Steelers, with the Patriots at the end of the year.
Yeah, and take advantage of a soft schedule, maybe, things like that as well. I'm glad you brought up the Jags, Mike, and I'm joined by Mike Tanier of Bleacher Report here on CBS Sports Radio. How do you look at them right now? They've committed to Blake Bortles, at least for the near term here, and they made – that was a team that I think was surprisingly active. Maybe not surprisingly. I don't know. They were very active in free agency, making us all wonder, man, where are they getting all this money from? What do you think of the moves they made, and what do you think of that team as currently constituted potentially getting back to the AFC title game?
An odd collection of moves, particularly on offense, where – I look at guys like Austin Safarian Jenkins. He's a pretty good tight end. I'm glad he's come back from some of the problems he's had in the past. This is not a marquee difference maker type of move. I think Dante Moncrief, one of the guys they brought in from the Indianapolis Colts, he's somebody who has upside. I don't know if he replaces the guys that they lost, the Allens that they lost there. Mm-hmm. So there's some gamble type moves on the people that they brought in. I think we can be 100% confident in the quality of that defense. And I think that when defenses are great, that creates a basic level of how good this team's going to be. But they could very easily be the team the Ravens have been for many years, where you know that defense is going to be great, and you're looking at that offense, and it's going to be fits and spurts. We've seen those Raven teams for years. The offense is in fits and spurts, and they come in at the end, and maybe they're a wild card, and maybe they beat a great team, but then they lose to a bad team because they're not consistent on offense. That could be the team that the Jaguars are if Blake Bortles didn't really take a step forward at the end of last year. I don't think that's certain. And if some of the guys that they brought in on offense aren't really considerable upgrades.
Yeah, that's the thing. If I were a Jags fan, Mike, that's the thing that would scare me is, man, how much of this on the offensive side is going to come crashing down on Leonard Fournette's head? Because it feels like they're really placing a lot of trust and a lot of hope that they can be one of those teams that, to your point, plays great defense and runs the football.
Yeah, and I think they brought in Norwell at the guard position. He's somebody who's going to help that running game. And you can see what the plan is going to be. You're going to run, then you're going to get play action. And Bortles with play action, it's going to be easier for him. He can throw deep. He can make some plays with his feet, et cetera. I see that logic. I see how that can work when you have that phenomenal defense. But another thing that usually works best with is a soft schedule. Now, if the Texans are stronger, and we think they're going to be, if the Titans are a better team, and they certainly have the talent to be a competitive team, they were a playoff team last year, it doesn't look like it's going to be that same AFC soft schedule. The Colts are there, too. Maybe Andrew Luck will throw a ball someday. And if that's the case, you want to be a complete team, not sort of that defense and running team, because that's the formula that leaves you, like I just said, the Ravens, that leaves you in the wild card position, while some team that's a little more balanced leaps ahead of you in the standings.
Yep, no question. Mike Tenier, Bleacher Report, joining me talking some NFL. You mentioned the Colts. Are you buying any of this stuff coming out of Indianapolis where Frank Reich and Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay are all, oh, no, everything's fine. Andrew's going to throw soon. Are you buying any of it?
Someday he's got to, because this is the second consecutive year. I was having this conversation on radio on June 10th last year, where people said,
right,
well, obviously he's going to throw in a couple weeks, right? A solid year has passed, we're in the same place, so it has to happen at some point. And I'm rooting for it to happen because the NFL is a better place with Andrew Luck in there. But I keep worrying that they're the team, like they're the guy who hears the knock in the engine and doesn't want to admit to his wife that he didn't get the oil changed, so he keeps driving with the knock of the engine until it collapses. I keep worrying that that's what the Colts organization is. They keep acting like if they don't draft a quarterback or make another move at quarterback, that will magically fix Andrew Luck somehow. I hope that's not the case. I hope that really is just 1 week away, and then that's going to be the end of it. But again, it's been 53 weeks and counting of that kind of logic.
Well, one great quarterback who is fully healthy, as far as we know right now, is Aaron Rodgers. What do you expect to happen with Aaron Rodgers on the contract front? And do you expect, not just in terms of the size of the deal or the length of the deal, do you expect there to be some nuances to this contract that maybe change the landscape of how quarterback contracts are done going forward?
Well, he did not talk about it. He sent smoke signals out that he wants some kind of option years on his end, things that he can opt out of, and then he denied it because that's how everyone does everything now. You have your agent say one thing and you say the other. But I don't know. I can't understand how an option for the player would work, because at some point the team will look at that and say, well, if you can opt out of that year, we just don't want to give you that year. If all you want is a one-year or a two-year contract, we will give you those things, because there is a degree to which guarantees should work both ways. And, you know, guarantees are always going to lean towards management's way, because that's the way the world works. But what I really think is going to happen is when this extension comes, and I think it's going to come in the summer, we're not going to hear it this week, we're not going to hear it next week, it'll be some nice July day when we're trying to think about the All-Star game for baseball. When it comes, it's going to be a short extension, a 2 or 3 year extension with numbers in the range, I don't know, $35 million a year or something like that. The reason Aaron Rodgers is in this situation now, where I believe he's 10th highest paid quarterback is because he signed one of those 7-year extensions many years ago. Those are out of style. He doesn't want anything like that. He wants a contract now, and then he wants a contract in 2 years when he's still great, and that's what the Packers, one way or the other, are going to have to give to him.
Mike Tenier, Bleacher Report, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Will Earl Thomas be a Seattle Seahawk when the season starts this year?
You know what? I don't think he will be. I think they're going to find a trade partner, and I don't think the trade partner they're going to find would have been as good as the one they would have found in March or before the draft when teams were making plans, when I'm guessing some teams like the Cowboys would have had understood what their cap situation was and what their long-range plan is. The problem with Earl Thomas, and of course he did say today he's not going to be reporting the mandatory minicamp unless he gets a new contract. The problem is they should have settled this when they released Richard Sherman, when they got rid of Michael Bennett and some of those other guys. They knew at that point, anyone could see that Earl Thomas had 1 year left in his contract and was on the bubble and all the veterans were going. And that was the time to either go to him for an extension or go to him and say, let's talk about trading partners and let's prepare for this. It doesn't look like the Seahawks did that. It looks like they just wanted to kind of wait around and see if he would just happily show up for camp for one more year. That was unrealistic, and it wasn't good management and good long-range planning for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, let's stay there for a second, Mike. What do you think of Seattle's offseason so far? The moves you talked about, not just sort of the reshaping or the exodus of some of the guys on the defensive side, but they drafted a running back in the first round, things like that. What's your assessment of their offseason as they try to get back into the postseason this year?
It was all over the place, and that's one of the things I have a hard time making sense of the plan. At first, when they cut all those defensive salaries, I thought, okay, they're going to rebuild for a year around Russell Wilson while he's still inexpensive and young, and they're going to try and retool that defense. So this will be like a mini-rebuilding year in the comeback. And I thought I had that locked in, that that's what the plan was. You could keep Earl Thomas under those circumstances, and as long as you kind of satisfy him. Then they kind of ignore the offensive line in the draft again, which they always do. And I don't think Dwayne Brown notwithstanding, I don't think they have the bodies there on the offensive line. Then they draft the running back. They draft the punter. They bring in Brandon Marshall, who I don't know, after watching him with the Giants last year, I have no idea what he's supposed to do at wide receiver except run around in training camp. I don't know what they're thinking. I think they're going to be competitive during this adjustment phase. And I think it's neither fish nor fowl. I think they should have committed one way or the other, whether it was all in for one more year with Richard Sherman or, hey, let's take a step back and take a step forward after we've rebuilt. They should have done one or the other. This thing in between, it looks like a recipe for 7-9 or 6-10.
Last one, and it's only a one-word answer. Cleveland Browns, over, under 5.5 wins.
Going over, right around 6. Or 7.
There you go. I think so, too. I think they're going to be improved. I like Tyrod Taylor there. I think they're going to be it's hard to be. They mathematically, they can't be worse than they were last year. I was about to say, I think they'll be better this year. Yeah, no duh. That's how you get these.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, that's how you get these national hosting jobs with hot takes. Like, I think the Browns will be better next year. Mike Tenier does a great job covering the NFL for Bleacher Report. Hey, Mike, appreciate you making time on a Sunday night, man. Thanks a lot. Hope to do it again with you.
Always a pleasure. Take care and enjoy some minicamp this week.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.